4341790. I remember many, seems like many moons ago, because the child is now a grown adult. I remember the first time I saw this child with a video game. I sat looking at them playing with it, and I picked up the inserts to the video game and turned over the back to look at, you know, I like reading things. So I was reading all this stuff at the back that they don't usually read. And an interesting thing crossed my eyesight. The name of the company that had developed the particular rather violent-looking game they were playing. You know what's the name of the company that developed the video game? Idle Minds, not I-D-L-E, I-D-O-L-M-I-N-D-S. And I looked at it and I went, a company called Idle Minds developed a game about death and destruction. Why am I surprised? But the person playing the game was somewhere between 5 and 6. And that's years old, okay? not decades. But anyhow, yep. So, you know, sometimes we question things and don't question things. Brass Dax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Happy New Year again to you, the staff at VOB, and all the listeners.
To you too, ma'am.
Thank you. First, I want to praise Mr. Ellis, along with other persons, for doing a fantastic job. Everybody said he did a fantastic job yesterday, especially with his questions, because we get to learn about other things. Mr. Johnson, though, do you believe these temperature guns really work? Because, let me tell you, see a positive person going to a business, he get checked with the temperature gun. Do you believe that the gun should read something about him, that he positive or something it should show?
Ma'am, a temperature gun is not to tell you whether you're positive or not. A temperature gun tells you your temperature. That's all it does.
Okay, so that means that a positive person could go into any business place then and spread the virus. The gun ain't helping then. The gun just telling you about your temperature.
Ma'am, but that's not what the gun is about. There are different things for different reasons. A temperature gun is to find out what your temperature is. Now, if your temperature is elevated, which means it shows that you have a fever, it doesn't matter what the fever is from, you should not be allowed into a public place because you may be carrying a germ that you can spread. So that's what a temperature gun is supposed to do. I have asked on more than one occasion, including all security officers here, if I come into the building or attempt to come into the building and you take my temperature and my temperature is elevated, what are you supposed to do? I ask that question for a reason, because if they're the security officers standing outside the building, they should be able to tell me what the protocol is if my temperature is elevated. They should be able to tell me whether I'm going to be locked in a room, whether I have to stand there while they call the ambulance, whether, you know, I just walk away from them and they can't do me nothing. So when you go to a business place where there is no security officer, but you're required to stand, have your picture taken, lean into the temperature the gauge, have your temperature taken, sanitize your hand and walks in. What happens if you have elevated temperature? Who's checking the pictures? How often is it checked? And what are you supposed to do? Those are the things that will keep us safe. Yes. Those are the things that will make us know that there's a protocol in effect and it's working. A temperature gun is not supposed to tell you whether you have coronavirus or not.
But that means that you know how many positive persons went into business places.
No, it does not. No, it does not.
Because we don't, you know. Anyhow, Mr. Johnson, I want to know if you can put on a show with an asymptomatic person and someone that recover on one of your shows after we recover from down by the isolation center or whatever, if they have any if they develop any ailments, what happened after that, if they go back normal, if the body normal, you see people recover and they go home, but you don't hear no follow-ups on them if they develop sickness or anything like that.
Ma'am?
Yes?
You ever been sick?
Yes?
You ever tell anybody why you're sick?
I know, Mr.
No, ma'am, I'm asking you a question. Have you told people why you were sick? Good.
No, I
thank you very
doctor.
Much. Thank you very much.
Wait, ma'am,
and ma'am, hold on.
No.
Hold on. Walk with me now, please.
Okay,
I promise not to leave you in the bush and do you anything untoward. People are very... I just had a long conversation with a lady about her challenges. People are very closed about their personal business. There are very few people who will want to come on radio and talk about, I was sick, this was wrong with me, this was right with me, and so on. Because it would put them in a position where people would either A, avoid them, B, stigmatize them, or that other word we used to use, victimize. You will not come on air and tell me about all the challenges you have and what it has done to you because it's your private business.
But Mr. Johnson, you can change the people's voice. You don't,
by
to
what?
Go outside.
By what?
Scramble the voices.
With what?
Scramble the voices.
The same one that somebody else from somewhere else can do. Who tell you we have it?
Oh well, I just answered a question.
I just answered it for you, ma'am.
Anyhow,
I sit here as a producer.
Mm-hmm.
I sit here and I have worked with Mr. Ellis. I've worked with Mr. Lane, I've worked with Dr. Hines, I've worked with all the moderators on this program. Some still here, some not here. Let me advise you of this. On more than one occasion, those names that I've just called have asked people to come on the program. They have agreed, and some have not come. There are people who say, I ain't coming to no program that Dennis Johnson hosting. There are people who say, I ain't coming to no program that David Ellis hosting. And people keep calling this person and say, you must get the minister to say, and you must get this person to say. It is not that easy. And when you try to do it, there are people who say yes right up to the last minute, and then say they had church or whatever, and you're left scrambling. There are many times that Corey is coming on a Sunday with a whole panel, and nobody's called, and he had to have a regular program. Just last Sunday, you would have heard the moderator say, we were supposed to be joined by people from the COVID-19 unit. They were not there. We ended up having a program with two business people. It is not easy to do the things that you ask because of people protecting. Ma'am, I know, and I'm trying to explain to you why it's not easy to do it.
Okay.
So you won't say that we ask and I refuse to do it because we don't want to bring the people. That's why I tell you, I will lead you, but I won't lead you astray. I could promise you that. I won't do it. Thanks for just raising it. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Yellow. All right. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Johnson. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Saying you.
Hey, good, man. Listen, you know, I got a new name for you for the new year, you know what?
What's that now?
Robin Hood.
Who are Robin?
Well, Robin Hood, you got a little John with you. Robin Hood had a little John with you.
My, he a little, he a fairly big fella, you.
Well, I'm not using new Robin Hood.
All right, sir. No problem. I will take it. There have been worse things said about me. You hear what I tell you? There will be worse things said about me. Go ahead.
No, brother Dave. My thing today, you say two things.
Which things is this? I don't know who WhatsApp's coming from, so you know, I just see WhatsApp.
All right, but I say you two things that are unusual.
Okay.
As long as you see two unusual things that come out, you guys delete them.
All right.
you understand what I mean?
I hear you, sir. Yes.
Right. Listen, you see this COVID thing? Mr. Johnson, I 65 years. All right. I so frightened for this that it ain't funny. I went in a store, Saturday. As I get at the door, the lady that the spread the thing for your hand, she got a friend and she went there, and she big ugly nose. Oh, I see you trying to pull up that mask. So when she pulled up, and the woman spray my mask, she walked straight back with his door. That's your whole afraid of this. I ain't going in town. gotten a boy, don't know who got it, and you see the ZRs? I really. The ZRs just doing the same foolishness of people getting in the mass. And they said they know this thing about out. Man, these things can't be fair to people.
So I could only again suggest that as far as possible, we adhere to the guidelines, that we observe regulations, that we follow instructions, and that we think of the other person. As I said to one of the previous callers, there are some masks that may be fashionable, they may look nice, but they're uncomfortable because of the material, and they may be causing people great discomfort. People wear glasses, sometimes their glasses get fogged up. You can't see properly if your glasses fogged up, so they may pull down the mask to clear the fog off the glasses. At one point, I remember supermarkets were going around, cleaning shelves. Messages were being relayed over the public address system saying, don't pick up items and put them back on the shelf. Shop with your eyes and not with your hands. And then those things went by the wayside. People pick up things, look at it, put it back. Pick up another one, look at it, change their mind, put it back. You know, like that. So, you know, we just got to be aware of what's happening around us and try to be as safe as possible. Somebody tell me I only agree with things that originate with me. I'm ego dominated. Yes, sir, I have a very big ego. The only thing bigger than it, I think, is my heart. But yeah, I live with it. Brass tacks, good afternoon. I wish people would understand, right, that your opinion of me doesn't change me, you know. It's just your opinion of me. 50% of the people I know can't stand me, the other 50% love me. I break even. I good. Brass tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi. I'm glad you're laughing. Good afternoon, ma'am, and how are you? Happy New Year to you.
Let me wish you a blessed 2021. And if I could say, I would try to get you so long. But anyway, a couple of things. One was a question that I really wanted to raise last night, and I tried calling, but the lines were busy. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I want to ask, and you may not be able to answer, but I'll put it out there. Can somebody confirm that the entry and other protocols are the same for visitors arriving on commercial aircraft, on private jets, and on yachts? I raise that because all the discussion I've heard has centered around passengers on aircraft,
on commercial flights.
Commercial flights. Yeah. And to me, that's an important issue. I mean, of course, I haven't had a chance to see the volume of yachts coming in. You know, for some years, we were seeing quite a few. I've curtailed my movement, like the last caller, to a large extent. And so that is something that's important, because at the end of the day, we want to be sure that
We cover all points of entry.
All bases.
Yeah.
The other thing that I that triggered something in me was a conversation you had earlier with a young lady talking about the protocols. On more than one occasion, I've been asked, and in fact, I asked this question because of a question that was posed to me by somebody overseas, mm-hmm. In terms of what happened. But the question of high risk and low risk, because at the end of the day, I was saying to the person, I really do not want to give you any definitive information, because I've been seeing, as expected, that there will be modifications, but that there were different kinds of scenarios playing out. But I just want to put this on the table. And I think you use New Zealand as an example of traditionally low risk.
Because of the numbers there. Yeah.
But if I am flying to Barbados from New Zealand, chances are I'm going to come
through some places
and say, in the UK.
Yeah.
So that almost negates the notion of low risk, because we've talked about the 72 hours and what can happen in between there. Those are things you can't control. So what it really said to me is that once we start differentiating too much, we're going to have some challenges
managing it. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so that is a problem. And I really am concerned that we look at those things. I'm happy to see that there have been some changes made to the question of movement of persons in quarantine. Mm-hmm. Because once, whether you're Bajan, a visitor from wherever, and you're in quarantine, and until you are cleared with that second test, I mean, which reduces the likelihood that you are infected, because we know how this thing with viral load and so on works. People need to stay away. I mean, and right now, for me, what has transpired recently is something that worried me for a long time. We're 166 square miles. And anybody can transit one point of Barbados to the neck and circumnavigate the whole island, for want of a better word. Mm. You know, across, crisscross the island, going to supermarket, relative, friends, grocery, mm. you name it. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it is critical, as I said to people, if we get it right, and we have been getting it right so far, we will get it very right. But God help us if we get it
wrong. Yeah.
And the issue for me is to say to Barbadians, we have to be very careful, because we depend on regulations and so on to control people who come into our space. Mm-hmm. The truth is, we cannot have, or we would not have had, a super spread if there was nothing to spread.
Yeah.
But because of lax behaviors, we created, or we contributed to the creation of what we're dealing with now. And mm-hmm. and the worrisome thing is, we do not know, once it is in the population, what will transpire over time.
Over time, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I really hope that we will see a policing of the rules, a tightening of the rules. You made reference, I think it was you or one of your callers, to what is happening in Australia in terms of their procedures. That's a country where their biodiversity is such that they are very cautious in the best of times with visitors.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you hear that somebody says, I'm quarantined for 14 days and I don't have a key to my hotel room. In other words, they lock me
in. They lock you in, I can't get out. Yeah.
That is precisely for a reason. And I really think that people should look at that. The last thing I want to raise comes out of a question that was raised to you just now, because it is something I have raised with a Barbadian in the health professions overseas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it is wise, as you say, to ask Barbadians in a small community to come and talk about the after effects of COVID, etc. But I think it is critical that we pay some attention to that. There's a lot of information. I sat the other day watching one of the television stations. One of the people who contributed to the dialogue on thing, her family, unfortunately, has now come down with it. She got it through, as she thinks, a five-year-old child who came home from school with it.
Okay.
And so on. But what she was talking about are the consequences of having the condition, you know, having had the disease.
The virus.
Yeah, so even what she was saying is there, in some, she has this is a medical doctor by qualification.
Mm-hmm.
She has a colleague who got it some months ago, and the guy has not been able to go back to work. So I don't know that we want people to come and talk about their condition, because they may find themselves
out of a job or technically being sidelined. Yeah, and this is my challenge, because I am sure, I made the comment earlier, I think when I was talking to Rosalind. There are people with pre-existing conditions who are on different types of medication. And because of that, they may be affected in different ways by contracting a virus. Of whatever, you know, the treatment. There's some medication that, I've often said this, that the side effects are worse than the condition you have. So you have, you know, something that takes one set of medication, and then you find out that it's eating the marrow out of your bone, or causing high blood pressure. Okay. You're giving you some other condition that you didn't want anyhow. So you're trying to control one, and you now have to control three. So, and there are people who don't want to, you know, just expose themselves to the possibility of being, you know, stigmatized in any way because of what they have already gone through or what they're continuing to try to manage. And it's difficult.
No, that is true. And what I would end and say is that as we seek to control what's going on, and bearing in mind that we have across this country a high incidence of NCDs, and we also have, to my mind, when we think of autoimmune issues,
yeah.
When you look at lupus, etc.
I raised that one in particular.
Capital mm-hmm. level that is higher than the international average, that we have to think in terms of how do we manage this, want to stop people from contracting the disease, but mm-hmm. how do we anticipate some issues coming out of these, should certain, you know, persons who have certain medical conditions or whatever You know, so I think we need to pay attention to post-COVID, so to speak, in terms of life after that, implications for our children, our work population, etc. But let me wish you well, and please stay safe, my friend.
You too. Always good hearing from you. Thank you very much. All right, John says I can take the last one. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I am being good, sir. And you?
I am keeping quiet, and all the best for the new year.
Thank you.
Mr. Johnson, I would like Miss Sandy Sider to keep, when she hear people, no comment. Mr. Johnson, have a nice afternoon, please.
All right, sir. That's it for the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. On behalf of technical operator John Stout, I do wish you the best of the rest of this day, and I hope that those of you returning to work tomorrow will do so safely, and please take care as we go forward. Corey should be with you tomorrow, and I'll be sitting in the chair in the upper booth. Until then, continue to enjoy the rest of your day.